Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
It is the one and only Savage Nation. Trying to wake you up from the stupor of the storm. Terrible situation out there. Obviously, people are, in trouble. But look, I could dwell on this for 2-3 hours. You've seen it. It's terrible. There's nothing we can do about it ourselves. If there's breaking news, I will give it to you. But I'm going to do a regular show because I would assume that of my regular listeners, even on the East Coast, you're not tuning in to hear about the storm because you got it all day long. And you'd rather hear a talk show, and I will do that on the Savage Nation. And you can call me, and you can while away the hours if you have electricity or batteries, foot power, hand power, nose power. And the phone number for the Savage Nation is 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282 anywhere in the United States of America. It is not toll-free in Benghazi. It is toll-free from Maine to San Diego. 855-400-SAVAGE. I spoke with a 30-year-old woman who's very intelligent today, and I don't talk politics with her because I know she's a liberal, and she's a relative, and close relative. And we talked about, you know, dogs and food, and somehow the topic came up with the election, and she out of nowhere said why Obama will lose. Now, remember, she voted for him in 08. Nowhere, spontaneous, she said Obama will lose, and I said, well, why? You voted for him in 08. What's different? Here's what she said. He's done nothing, right? And the economy is still stalled. I said, that's interesting. So I said, it's still basically bread and butter issues. I said, what about Libya? She said, what happened in Libya? Doesn't even know. Because of the quislings in the U.S. media, the American people don't even know that this president has abrogated his responsibilities as commander-in-chief and as president. But that, you know, that's not the issue. So I said, well, what do you think of Romney? I looked very carefully at her face, and she had a pleasant look. She said, he's okay, but certainly not the old man McCain was, who I feared might die in office when I voted for Obama in 08. That was an interesting response. Then she added, but I wish Republicans were not so against abortion and gay marriage, she said, because, frankly, as a woman, I'm for gay marriage and I'm for abortion. I didn't say one word. But you know that that's the entire zeitgeist of this election. And you know that's why the Democrats have tried to tar and feather Romney with the abortion and gay marriage issue. So I let it go. But she said why Obama will lose, even though she voted for him in 08. And the answer was simple. He's done nothing, and the economy is still stalled. Now, Hurricane Sandy, do you fear it may delay the election? This is a stunning development that appeared today. We know that Superstorm Sandy will have some kind of impact on the election. It could be an inconvenience for some or delays in the election. But you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. So-called federal officials last week said that it's state officials' call whether to push back the election. Did you know that? Federal law mandates that presidential elections be held on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. But, listen to this. If a state, quote, has failed to make a choice on the day prescribed by law, the electors may be appointed on a subsequent day in such a manner as the legislature of such state may direct. So you have an emergency threatening to disrupt voting. And so under such conditions, the Federal Election Assistance Commission, that must be ACORN, a few goons with nightsticks, the Federal Election Assistance Commission, a few goons with nightsticks, advises the following. State election officials should, quote, review existing state law to determine if the governor has the power to cancel an election or designate alternative methods for distribution of ballots. Did you hear this? Alternative methods for distribution of ballots. So, for example, they can distribute ballots with food stamps. They could distribute ballots with government cheese. And so, therefore, FEMA now is dealing with the possibilities of delaying the election. A FEMA administrator, Craig Fugate, not to be confused with the Fugazi in the White House, but the FEMA administrator, Craig Fugate, not Fugazi, Craig Fugate said, we are anticipating that Based on the storm, there could be impacts that would linger into next week and have impacts on the federal election. That's what he said. Then he went on. He said, our chief counsel has been working on making sure that we have the proper guidance. In other words, they want to see if they can get away with stealing the election. He said, we're going through the regulatory policy and making sure all that's in place and we can support it. Like they supported the ambassador in Benghazi. Now, there is some precedent for this. The New York City mayoral primary was delayed in September 01 after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. However, I do not know of a precedent for delaying a presidential election. But then again, we have no precedent of a man as incompetent as Obama, so we don't know what might happen. Hurricane Sandy, could it push back the election? Could it? I mean, I'll ask you the question, but what are we going to do? Just, you know what I'm saying? NPR now says there's an eight-point swing, putting Romney in the front. A new national public radio poll put out by the leftist NPR, which had President Obama leading Mitt Romney 51-44 4 weeks ago, now has Mitt Romney on top 48-47, with the Republican benefiting from his debate performances. That's interesting. Among critical independent voters, though, Romney won big, with 37% saying they're now more likely to choose him compared to 21% for Obama. So we don't know. You know, anything could happen, but it's an interesting fact. Who will a hurricane hurt more, Democrats or Republicans? This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'm finding my rhythm. It's later in the day. My audience is finding me. I'm in San Francisco, live and strong on KSFO. I've run into a number of people who used to listen to me, and on the station I had in Sacramento, it was like a crystal set. It used to come in crackly. But they're fanatic listeners. I mean, they found me. They listened to me. They all know that I'm now on KSFO. So I asked them, how'd you find me? They said, we just found you. Everyone knows where you are and what stations you're on. And if you're listening to me somewhere in America, which you must be, I'm on 140-some-odd stations after only a week with the new great syndicator Cumulus Media. I got to tell you that very soon Cumulus is creating a map for me, which will be on michaelsavage.com. And you go to your city and you press the point and it shows you the station and the time. You understand this? It's a new beginning for me. This is a brand new show for me. It's like a, you know what they say, like a rebirth, like a relife, a renaissance? You're listening to the new Michael Savage, the same guy, but I have a, you can hear it in my voice. There's a new lift to my shoes. I feel myself walking as a free man for the first time in so many years, after so many years of feeling as though I was on a plantation. It was my feeling. I felt as though I was on a plantation. And that I'm like a runaway slave who broke the chain. You have no idea what I went through, nor do I want to burden you with it. All you got to know is that the new Savage Nation is bigger, stronger, better. And each day, each week, each month, it's going to get bigger. Bigger and bigger in ways you can't even imagine. 1-855-400-7282. So I want to do politics, but I'm not only going to do politics, because I pioneered the phrase, I coined the phrase when I was on this station, KSFO, by the way, locally, back in the early days of the 90s, of I do news, views, and reviews. Now, the station now uses the phrase news and views you won't hear anywhere else, which is true. But I add to it news, views, and reviews that you won't hear anywhere else. And you know what I want to review today? A TV movie I saw last night. That, like, I search after a show. Last night after the show, for example, I couldn't just go to sleep. Who could go to sleep right now? The adrenaline is through the roof, so I need a beer to calm me, take me off the high wire, right? So I go to a local Italian restaurant. I don't go to San Francisco. I go to a local Italian restaurant, which will be remain unnamed. And I get a simple meal. I got a pasta with a tomato sauce. You know, I was dying to eat the meat. Oh, man, I had the rigatoni with meat sauce last week. I almost died. It brought me back to all the heart attack food I grew up on. I loved it. But I only, you know, maybe once every few months I do the heart attack dance. You know, but I'm not. So I had the veg. It was pretty good. And I ordered a beer. My luck in this restaurant, which has been in the area for 100 years, 60 years. My luck, I get a waiter who just moved here from New Jersey. A Jewish guy in his 70s who told me his life story within 3 minutes. I said, oh, my God. No matter how far I go, I'm back at Katz's Delicatessen. In my youth, it plagues me. I'm back. He was a nice guy, but I was tired. I didn't want to hear it. I wanted the beer and the spaghetti. Till I got the beer, I already learned that he just moved out here. and that he worked for his brother-in-law's sister's restaurant for 22 years. So I said, wait a minute, why are you here? What brings you to the San Francisco area? I mean, you're like a fish out of water here. He said, don't ask. He said, 22 years I worked for my sister and my brother-in-law. He said, do you think they gave me one free meal once in those 22 years? I swear to God, I'm not making this up. So I said to myself, you know, wherever I turn, there's a show topic. Whoever heard of a waiter working in a sister's restaurant and not being given a free meal? I couldn't believe it. I wanted to buy the guy a free meal when I heard that. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
During one of the debates, with some suggestion that, you know, in any way, we haven't tried to make sure that the American people knew, as information was coming in, what we believed happened.
That is not called parsing the truth. That is called BSing the public. But as Abe Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. That's all. But Obama didn't learn the Lincoln statement. I learned it when I was five. My father took me by the hand, walked me down the street. He told me a lot of things. High school educated immigrant. But he was well read and self-taught. And somehow he knew Lincoln. I don't know how. Lifetime Democrat. All people who were poor in those days were Democrats. They all were. To them, Republicans were for big business. The things have changed, though. It's a whole story unto itself. Of course the Republicans are for big business, but the Democrats are for big business. It's big business that runs the country. So what's wrong with big business? Without big business, there'd be no big country. So let's stop being fools about it. We're no longer making buggy whips and Swiss cheese in our backyard. So that's irrelevant. It's just that one party has taken straight aim at the middle class. That's the Democrats, because they want to shrink it. And the other party wants to expand the middle class with less regulation and less basically onerous government regulation, plain English. The Democrats live for more onerous regulation on businesses, as you know. And those of you who run businesses, I don't have to tell you this. So now Gore is out blaming, as you knew, I was waiting for this. He didn't wait for the water to recede to blame Hurricane Sandy on global warming. Now, what old Al Gore didn't learn in grad school, if he ever went to grad school, I know he invented the Internet. And he starred in a movie, I don't know, but he didn't know that in 1821 and 1938, New York and New England were hit with powerful hurricanes. Al Gorleone. I affectionately call him Al Gorleone because he's the head of the great crime syndicate, the global warming crime syndicate. He's made tens of millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on the scam. In 1821, the hurricane was called the Great September Gale. That's before the internal combustion engine was developed. And in 1938, the hurricane, aptly named the Long Island Express, slammed New York and New England with the winds up to 120 miles an hour. 120 miles an hour. Bigger, stronger than what we had, you know. So the Berkshire Eagle lists other hurricanes and tropical storms dating back to 1635 that have hit the East Coast prior to the invention of the internal combustion engine. Al Gore didn't learn that in grad school. He was busy inventing the Internet, and we have to give him time to catch up with what he didn't learn in graduate school. Unbelievable. Astounding. The same man who blamed Obama's bad debate performance on altitude now blames the hurricane on global warming. Unbelievable. This guy is good. Al Gorleone. Now, look, here's something you don't know about Al Gorleone. And this is important to know. Al Gorleone's father, Senator Gore, when he retired, became the president of the Occidental Coal Company. I wrote a whole series of articles on this 20 years ago. Mr. Gore's father worked for the Occidental Coal Company. And, you know, Al Gore Sr., the senator, which is nothing wrong with that. The Occidental Coal Company, which is owned by Arm & Hammer. And Arm & Hammer has a long history of relationships with the communist government of the Soviet Union. It's very closely interconnected, nothing to do with Al Gore as a communist. Al Gore is a stone-hearted capitalist, God bless him, made a lot of money on this scam. But his father, the senator, Occidental Coal. Now, what's interesting to me is how the father made his fortune on coal and the son makes his fortune on green. And it reminds me of the story about one of the pork manufacturer, pig slaughterhouses, Truns, I don't know which one. I'm thinking of the Williamsburg Bridge and the stink that came off the, when my father on Williamsburg Bridge in the summer, you could die. So I always remember that. When I think pig, I think Truns, and I think Truns, I think stink. When I think stink, I think Williamsburg, New York. I don't know. Now it's a hipster area. I don't know if the factory is still there. It was something to behold. But it was one of the pig companies that raised, slaughtered, and made hams. They said, we sell everything but the squeal. You know what I mean? They processed every part of the animal. Same with the gores. They made it on coal. Now they're making it on green. Anything to do with energy, they're making money on it. Now, what's happened to Al since he got caught in that scandal with the masseuse? I don't know. I know she ditched him. The photographer wife, she dumped him. And that was the end of the marriage, but I don't know. Remember those sound bites we had a few months ago? I had it a year ago before. It was hilarious of poor Al. He's such a schmendrick. A guy with that power and that money has to go to a masseuse and ask her to touch him inappropriately in a massage parlor? It was unbelievable to me to hear a guy like, they're desperate. They're like the guys that couldn't get into a college fraternity. You know what I'm saying? They go to a massage parlor? It's like that guy who ran for the governor of New York, Spitzer. Can you imagine how dumb this man was? The governor of New York, who was about to bring down Wall Street, right? Stop talking 2820. You're good. I got 14 seconds. Remember Spitzer? Another idiot. Like deranged. They're all rich man's sons. I'm glad I was poor. Because my father used to tell me rich men's sons amount to nothing. Generally true, not always true. I said, why do they amount to nothing? He said, because they don't have to work. They don't have to think. The father does everything for them. So the answer, look at Gore. Look what he's made of himself. He's done very well with a lie like this. But Spitzer goes to a hooker and uses a credit card, number one, charged to a bank in the Bahamas? I never heard of anything like this. Never in a million years. It was a guy who's about to bring down Wall Street. Who do you think pulled the switch on Spitzer? It was Wall Street. You remember soon thereafter we had the big scam of the Wall Street scam? After they got rid of... I remember. Okay, it's a gentle letdown. 28-0-10-11. Oh, you may as well raise the music.
On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill.
Why I love this song. Well, first of all, I always love Fats Domino. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. How could you not love Fats Domino? How could you not love this man? A different world, that's all. So in my book, which I haven't read from yet, Train Tracks, I'm going to do it after the election, my family memoirs, there is a story in there that I've told on the radio. I'm going to find the exact title. I don't know if it's in here. No, I think I took it out. The Nympho in Alley Pond Park. It reminds me of I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill. It isn't in there. Because I was the good kid. I was the good kid in that one. We'll go to another day. But I'm going to get to reviews, news, views, and reviews today. If you find the show a little jumpy, it's because I don't have ADD. I have a mind like a laser beam when I want to. But here's what I discovered. If I jump all over the place, you're more interested. How much can you listen to the anti-Obama talk? How much can you take of it with dour voices? Obama's bad. He's the worst. He's the worst. No, I've never seen anything like... All right, it's all true. I wrote books about it. But how much can you take of it? You think I'm going to do that 3 hours a day for the rest of my life? God didn't put me on the earth to do that. I'm here for a number of reasons. One, I got to entertain you. Primarily, you have to understand AM radio is an entertainment medium. Do you know that? It was created originally to entertain people, which it still does, especially when Democrats are on. But in the midst of it, you have to try to educate a little bit here and there. But if I'm not having a good time, you're having a bad time. If I'm having a good time, you're having a good time. If I'm interested in a topic, you're interested in a topic. That's the way radio is. And if you hear dead voice, you don't listen. That's all. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all of the people all of the time, Mr. Barack Obama. That's the exact quote, because a guy, Mr. Phil, is saying I messed up the quote. My version for my father is better. He improved on Abraham Lincoln. And why do I say my father improved on Abraham Lincoln? Because I remembered it. My father's version is a better one. You can fool some of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Why did I remember that? Because it makes more sense to me than the syntax and the reversal that Lincoln used. Lincoln, remember, was stuck in another century. He lived between 1809 and 1865. The way my father changed it was easier for a child to remember. So thanks, Lou, for recommending that I look up the actual quote. But look how it stuck with me. It stuck. Certain things you remember. And to think this was a man who didn't go to college. They go to college, what do they learn? Business bad, capitalism evil. They can't get a job, they become a barrister. I'm not laughing at barristers. I go to coffee shops. It's a sad thing. You got people with degrees in musicology, barrister. Degrees in poli-sci from Harvard, barrister. They get another degree. A master's yet in poli-sci, barrister. The guy who runs the coffee shop. And it's not a product of the society. It's a product of the fact that there's nothing you can do with degrees like that. They're useless. Useless. You know, so that's the problem. It's not that the children are not that smart. They've been misled by people who run the colleges. That's all. So there it is. Sandy's death toll hits 48. Damage could top $20 billion. A road to a bridge in southern Delaware is destroyed by Superstorm Sandy. Very big damage. Is it unthinkable that they're going to cancel the election? Is it unthinkable? They're thinking about it. They don't know what the quotient is, whether they get more votes, you know, or less votes. They don't know whether it'll hurt Obama more if he cancels or help Obama, you know. That's all. U.S. officials ID Libya attack suspect on surveillance video. No kidding. Yeah, they'll bring him to justice. Mexican man pleads guilty in border agent's killing. I wonder why they made him, they threw him under the bus. Boy faces murder charge in shooting of neo-Nazi dad. That's an interesting story. 5-foot-long rat snake found in Texas jail. Oh. Woman to watch daughter's killer die in South Dakota. You're lucky you're not in my business. If you have to do this for a living and read these headlines from 8 o'clock in the morning till I go on the air, and, you know, you can get crazy from all of this. It's insane. You know, headlines, they're written to catch your... But it really goes on. Someone said to me today, I don't watch the news because it's made to scare people. I said, yes, it is, and that's because the world is just a terrifying place. It's not made to scare you. There are very evil people out there, evil nations, and evil things going on. Here's a note from Massachusetts. Final Brown-Warren debate canceled as poll shows close race in Massachusetts. Brown versus Warren. You know, she's the fake Indian, pardon me. That scandal came up. And he's the fake Republican from, he took Kennedy's seat and then he immediately became a Republican, a Democrat. Remember him? Warren has faced accusations of trying to use her American Indian heritage to get a teaching job at Harvard Law, while Brown tries to win a second term in a strongly Democratic state. Warren said that although her parents told her growing up that her mother was part Cherokee and part Delaware Indian, and that as a child she never questioned that story. You hear this? So that's enough of a reason to call yourself Native American? I find that offensive, and I'm not a Native American. To use that in a campaign is offensive, frankly. That's how I see it, but don't call on that. A Boston Globe poll released Monday shows the candidates tied at 47% again. See, this is the newspapers involved with the tie. Every race is a tie. Why? So you keep biting your nails and reading the papers. That's all. It's another scam. You know, I'll let you know what happened Tuesday. See, I'm very lucky. My time, as you know, is later now than it used to be. I was in the afternoon drive on the West Coast, early evening on the East Coast. So now I'm 6 to 9 West, 9 to Mid East, right? And somewhere in between, I never can remember where, which start, 9, 8, 7, somewhere. But next week, when the election is on, you're going to have to listen to me only because I'm going to be on. I'm the only talk show host of any merit that will be on during the hours that the actual returns will matter. Oh, you're going to have hysteria during the day. Every second, they're going to, like, nightmare. They're going to need a sedative at Fox News by the time midnight rolls around. The girls are going to need traction the next morning. The leg crossers are going to have to go off the air for a month. They're going to need traction and around-the-clock sedatives. They'll be so hysterical. But I'll be on the air with you, Election Eve. And I may celebrate a little. Maybe I'll get some pizza brought in, have an arthritic attack, but it'll be worth it. I think I'm going to go haywire. I think I'm going to get a sausage pizza delivered. Wow. I can really indulge. Teddy would like that. No, he can't have any of that. I'll be here for you. Let's take a caller or two. What the heck? I'll be benevolent. I'll take a caller now on the Savage Nation. Lodi, California on KSFO. Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at. Hey, I voted for Newt Gingrich during the primary, even though our primaries were basically of no interest.
Yeah.
But then I'm looking at Romney. I don't agree with the man all the way, but I certainly disagree with Obama 100%. And what we have to make sure is that people don't just live by the polls. They still need to get out there and vote.
No, I know that, but it sounds like you work for Romney. That call sounds awfully, almost like a machine call.
No, it's not. It's me.
I'm joking. Come on. No, I gotta laugh out of you, so I know you're a live person. Listen, I'll tell you something. I'm not a Newt Gingrich fan. I think he did more damage to Romney than Obama did. Romney came in almost beaten to death, primarily from Newt Gingrich. And the Mr. Sweater in Pennsylvania didn't do him any favors either. They tore him to shreds. They didn't make him a stronger candidate. And a lot of the opposition research that Newt Gingrich dug up was used by the Obama campaign. I never forgave Gingrich for that. And when I saw him last week with his wife, Calista, the Stepford wife, pushing a new book, something like, again, about the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton played the tuba. I can't believe these two. How can you respect a guy like that? Gone already. Went on to the next robocall. See, that's how I tested him. I knew he was a robocaller. That was a Romney call. I don't blame him, but that was a robocall. I know it was. I have a sixth sense about these things. I'm not a fan of that Gingrich. I think he should be deported for what he did to Romney. How he has the nerve to appear after this. And, how long the marriage will last now that she's not first lady, I don't know. It's anyone's guess. Calista looks like she thought she was born to be first lady. She, you know, like Martha Washington was nothing compared to her. I mean, this is some couple. They remind me of, just bad vibes, the whole thing. But, okay, it's a big world. There's room for everybody, even Newt Gingrich, I suppose, and Calista. Sacramento, Greg, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Topic, Michael, is plants. I'm curious to find out, specifically vegetables, if a farmer is watering his vegetables with ditch water or irrigation water, how does the bacteria and the contaminants not transfer up into the plant? What keeps it healthy?
Very interesting. Well, you know about xylem and phloem, right? You know those two elements of a plant, of a tree, for example?
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, it's like the circulatory system of a plants have a circulatory system, not as complex as ours, but same principle, veins and arteries. And along the way, the roots, fundamentally, the rootlets are so small that they're in essence little filters. Now, if there are toxicants in such runoff, it'll kill the plant. They will, because the toxicants are almost on a particle level, and they will transmit into the plant and kill them. But if there's no toxicants in the water, the plant filters it.
Oh, okay.
That's the answer. But I don't want to do science tonight. I know I have a degree in botany and all, and I love botany. Plants are the essence of our food chain. But I'd rather not do science. I'd rather do polyscience and polydent at the same time, if you don't mind, because they both need glue to stick to your brain. It's the Savage Nation. 1-855-400-7282. 855-400-SAVAGE. We have callers from around the country. You can be one of them. In a few seconds, all you got to do is dial those numbers. We have one open line. I'll be right back.
Oh, little girl of mine.
It is 50 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. We have no open lines at 1-855-400-SAVAGE, but this is Little Girl of Mine by the Cleftones, who are from Jamaica High School, Queens, New York, where I went as a wee lad, 500 years ago, Jamaica High School, the worst years of my life. You know, high school actually is tough on kids. Junior high is murder. Junior high is like knives and black leather jackets for kids, even if they don't have that. Terrifying, you know, they're becoming young men and young women, and they don't know who they are yet, and they're easily influenced. Oh, it's a terrible time. You know that, really does. Was that movie, Rebel Without a Cause, with James Dean and Sal Mineo? I always felt like Sal Mineo, never like James Dean. Isn't that odd? You know, if you break that down, I'm just thinking out loud, because I'm not talking about the storm, since I know nothing about it. What am I going to tell you that you can't get in 2 seconds on the internet or on a television set? Like, 1 second is another. It's horrible. When I saw the subways flooded and the tunnels are flooded and boats on the ground. This was, it was just shock that it was that bad. And it's going to take months, not weeks, to pull out of this. Trees are down. There are gentlemen who work for Cumulus. They can't even get to work. The tree block, like, I mean, really like a tree down. Not a spin, a little spindly tree. Like a 100-year-old oak across the road into the neighbor's yard. No way around it. You couldn't get around it with a 4x4. No TV ad. I love all the ads with buy the 4x4. They show the jerks driving around on rocks. A lot of good they're going to do you now. How are you going to get around a tree that's knocked down over a street? Is the difference a 4x4 or a 1x2? The only way around it is to jump over the tree. I hope they have the emergency food in the house. I had an advertiser like that once. I can't mention it because they haven't come aboard yet, but they will. I have boxes of this stuff everywhere. I can't wait to try the beef stroganoff in an emergency, which I don't even eat when there's no emergency, but it's there. Well, you know, if you're starving, a beef stroganoff with a little water in it boiled up isn't such a bad idea. Better than boiling your finger. You know that they have already the lawyers lined up for the election? Party lawyers ready themselves for election recounts. I'm ready to... President Barack Obama's top election lawyer is former White House counsel Robert Bauer, and Romney's is Benjamin Ginsburg, who was chief counsel for George W. Bush's presidential campaign. Both men were involved with the controversial Florida recount in the year 2000, and both will get heavily involved again if there's a recount this time around. Among states where the lawyers are ready to go, the lawyers are going to decide who our president is. Among the states where the lawyers are ready to go are Ohio, Florida, Virginia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Colorado, and Nevada. So the lawyers are ready to go in all those states. Apparently the other states were allowed to still vote in. In these states, it's only lawyers decide who wins. What a country I'm living in. Unbelievable to me. What a story that is. You may also like the following story. Romney sacrificed $2 billion to run. Trump will make robocalls for Romney. Jeb Bush says Obama campaigns like a 10-year-old. All right. Very good. Now let's go to the callers around the country. Again, the number 1-855-400-SAVAGE. This is the Savage Nation. No, you're kidding me. Okay, KSFO, Ken, San Francisco again. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a real pleasure to have you get me on the call. I appreciate it very much.
What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what, two things. I heard your comment about James Dean reminds me of the movie Giant. Did you see that one?
Yes.
And the other one, I'll tell you what's on my mind. I won't take up your time. The main reason I'm calling is to get your.
I'll tell you a better movie. You want to talk about movies? How about the movie The Misfits with Clark Gable and Marilyn Monroe? One of the greatest movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, when they break those horses, it feels like your soul is being broken. Remember when Marilyn Monroe freaks out over the breaking of the horse?
Exactly.
it's symbolically an amazing movie because she saw it was the end of the West. It was an amazing film. Amazing film. I mean, movies are great art when they're great art. Let's not, we bash Hollywood enough, but when they pull off a good one, they pull off a good one.
Well, that's what I felt about
that. I saw a movie on HBO. No, I saw a movie on HBO I wanted to review today. The Revenge of this thing called The Girl. It's about Tippi Hedren and Alfred Hitchcock. I just saw it on HBO last night. I was shocked it was so good. The guy who plays Hitchcock is stunning. A stunning actor, beyond belief. Did you know that Tippi Hedren's daughter is Melanie Griffith? Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
No. No, you don't even know who Tippi Hedren was.
I don't, to be honest.
No. Well, the thing was, she was stunning in her early years, and Hitchcock was in love with her, and he tried to sexually blackmail her, it turns out. And then he ruined her career after two movies because she wouldn't sleep with him. It's this phenomenally interesting story of what he did to her, even though he's one of the greatest directors of all time. Now she gets even with him so many years later. It's this very sad thing to destroy his reputation. The Birds was great with the birds and the Birds and the Bees, but they told you about the birds, but not the bees. Now we learned about the birds and the bees. So what's really on your mind?
I have your story about the hurricane. We survived Hurricane Bob on Cape Cod, and my kids just were thrilled that there was a huge...
Yeah, we loved it. Why do kids love storms? I loved them as a child. When my father got snowed in New York and he couldn't get his car out on Utopia Parkway, I loved that he stayed home with us. Little did I know that, there was no money coming in. You know, kids don't know anything about work and money. They have no idea that the father goes to work to make money so you could eat and have clothing, right? So, dad's home with us. It was so much fun, right? Loved it. The family was together. We had no fireplace, of course. My mom was at the stove, little four-burner stove. It's a very famous story. I have a friend who owns an Italian restaurant in San Francisco, Lorenzo. Big restaurant, great food. He says, I love that story about your mother over that four-burner electric stove in Queens, how she knocked out 6-10 meals a day. No one could believe what she produced on that stove. Nobody. And I said, today the women have, $200,000 kitchens. They never use. No one would dare use a stove. You take a stove, let's say, in a fancy home, in a kitchen like that, they don't cook on it. Everything's takeout. I'm surprised they haven't developed what do you call those things that grind up garbage? A trash compactor that can take an entire takeout order, and grind, there's paper shredders that you can grind credit cards up with. I just bought one. Every other day, someone steals a credit card. I have to get a new number. I don't know how this is going on. What thievery in this country? Why do they not make 3 seconds and I'm out? I'm going to have a breakdown from the time. It's the Savage Nation. I'll tell you more later. Bigger, stronger, better. The Savage Nation returns right here.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. Now, I got to open this show tonight with an example of what is inside the brainstem of loony leftists like Hillary Clinton. You're not going to believe what you hear about Libya from Hillary, where she breaks into laughter about it, thinking that the entire world are her sycophants. But to begin the show, we have something even better than the looniness of Hillary Clinton, and that is the insanity of Ted Turner. Now look, Ted Turner's long been known to be insane. At least some of us surmise that. But listen to what he says about servicemen right now in the Savage Nation.
More American servicemen are dying from suicide
over there than are dying in combat.
I mean, that's shocking, isn't it?
Well, I think it's good because it's so clear that we're programmed and we're born to love and help each other, not to kill each other, destroy each other. That's an aberration. That's left over from hundreds of years ago. It's time for us to start acting enlightened.
I think that's very noble of Ted Turner. He's celebrating the suicides amongst our troops. And he said it's an aberration. He meant aberration. I think he's an aberration and an abomination and something beyond that. But it's a family show because I wouldn't kill animals. And he knew I had nowhere to go. I mean, he gave me an ultimatum. Either you kill the animals or I'm taking back your fellowship. I had nothing, but I always found in life, and I've done this in business too. I've walked out of business deals when I had almost nothing, where there was a lot of money on the table, where I knew my heart would die if I stayed another day in a certain company. And I did this years ago. I won't even tell you the company. And I quit that day and left the city. I didn't even know what tomorrow would bring. And you know what? It brought me radio. And I have found in my life that whenever I let my instincts, my soul, whatever you want to say, dictate the course of my events, it always works out best for me. And that's why I'm saying I think that we need to focus today as an American people on what's happening to us as people. The Islamo-fascists are dehumanizing the world. When you see them cutting Daniel Pearl's throat and you hear the blood-curdling cry, of course, that's been buried because you're not supposed to remember who they really are. Or when you hear them making him say, I am a Jew, my mother was a Jew, my father was a Jew, and then they cut his head off. Again, you're not supposed to remember any of that. That's one thing. But we must not let the Islamo-fascists dehumanize us. I didn't say don't fight them. But what we can do is remember that we have a responsibility to protect these innocent creatures that God has placed on this earth along with us. There is no need to experiment and torture these chimpanzees anymore. They can use computer modeling. There are other ways to do this. This is a throwback to the 19th century. And many of the people that I have met in my life in animal research are the most sadistic people on the planet. And they use the animals to work out their sadism.
Savage.
Well, I'm back live with you on the Savage Nation, owing to the storm we had. I'm telling you what I think. That's all. Anna, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much, Dr. Savage, for talking about this. It's a testament to your humanity, and if I ever hear a liberal insult you again, I'm just going to bring this up because you have the courage to discuss this issue. These chimps.
Well, I don't know whether it's a liberal conservative issue. I think it's a human issue, and I think this is something that should not unite all of us. Another, again, I want to say this again. I want to be very clear. I believe that we as a race are becoming, excuse me, we as a species are becoming dehumanized by the Islamo-fascists. When we see how they treat their fellow co-religionists even, blowing up marketplaces, killing fellow Muslims, all in the name of some political ideology that they mask in a religious ideology, we cannot let them dehumanize us. And I'm saying the best way to make our to save our humanity is to save the animals. How's that?
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked to people, friends of mine who work in pharmaceutical companies, so, and similar to what happens with the Islamo-fascists is the way that you get used to working in this field, and it's a dehumanizing practice, you know?
That's right, exactly. Oh, well, I'm just going to go to work today and take a chimpanzee. I'm going to inject them with a tranquilizer. His family members are going to scream in the cages that he was brought in with. As we wheel him out in a gurney and he's helpless, and then when we poke him and prod him and, let's say, maybe blind him, take an eye out of him, you can hear the other animals screaming through the wall because they know what's going on. No, this has to end.
Absolutely, and it's one step.
I'll tell you something. We should see more of these videos rather than fewer. That's all. Remember, I told you I walked out of, I want to make it about me, but it is about me. You got to understand, it is about me. People have a history in their life, and very often their history is fraudulently altered for political reasons. So this is what I want to do right now. Mike, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to quote William Blake in support of the great English poet, in support of what you're saying. And it's, "Each outcry of the hunted hare, a fiber from the brain does tear. A horse misused upon the road calls to heaven for human blood." And, you know, what you're really saying, Michael, is what the many of the great Jewish rabbis did in their day to protect society from moving in the direction of the greater sins. They built walls where you knew you were getting in breaking distance of the greater sins. So by being humane to the chimpanzees, what you're really saying is we need to build a wall from sliding into greater inhumanity and our...
Exactly. We're going to slide into inhumanity to man. Man to man inhumanity.
Savage. Right. And I'm back again on the Savage Nation. We're having a few glitches tonight. Please bear with us. It's Sandy. Sandy the Gremlin. Sandy is... every time I say the word Al Gore and try to play the clip of... Al Gore with the masseuse, one of the gremlins from Sandy kills the IS, the end line. He's starting to sound like a fiscal conservative. Yeah, okay. It's the Savage Nation. We're back in full force at 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. All the topics are, well, all the topics I've touched on, everything from, you can't even catch up with me because I move around a lot. I don't get stuck on Obama bashing, although there's an awful... there's a tremendous desire to spend 3 hours a day doing that, but it's boring. I throw it in once in a while. I let him basically bash himself. Everything the man says is laughable. Benghazi, Libya gate, nothing. Of no concern to him. That ambassador, the whole Middle East is in flames. His entire strategy of appeasing the Islamists blew up in his face. The worst foreign policy president in American history. It's beyond comprehension, like the reverse of the Monroe Doctrine. Obama has the reverse of the Monroe Doctrine, which I learned in high school. His is the Obama Doctrine, which is let the Islamists do as they wish anywhere on earth, and then pray they don't hurt us. That's the Obama Doctrine. 1-855-400-SAVAGE. Let's go to WGAC. Dan, thanks for calling. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael, I have to know your definition of the word Smendrick, because growing up the street was Michael, John, and Steve Smendrick. And all I keep thinking for years...
No, some people get names that they're stuck with that are very hard to live with, and they usually make... Either they become complete wrecks, or they become extraordinary people to overcome their name. The Schmendrick is a stupid person, and it's sort of a Yiddish word. Yiddish is a combination of Hebrew and Low German that was developed in the Middle Ages, and it developed into an entire language unto itself, and some of the phrases are very funny. I will use Italian phrases, I'll use Yiddish phrases, I'll use Irish phrases on the show. But Schmendrick is a benign phrase for a sort of silly, stupid person, an ineffectual nobody, such as some Schmendrick downstairs, ask if you could turn down your stereo. It's not a dirty word, if you know what I'm saying.
See, I'm Ukrainian, and they were Ukrainian. And, you know, 100%, and I'm just like, and I always thought of it as a last name. Never thought, and for years you've been using it, and I said, I got to get through to him one of these days and ask him, you know, what he says.
Well, you see, it's a benign way of saying somebody is kind of silly, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They fit your definition.
It's a mild way to put somebody down, that's all. Now, there are SCH words that are not mild. They're kind of grotesque. We don't use them on the Savage Nation. And that's all. That's what a Schmendrick is. Nothing serious. Lightweight. You would never call the president a Schmendrick because he's not silly, nor is he ineffectual. Never use it with someone of that power and that intelligence. 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282 is the Savage Nation. Yes, Sacramento, KSFO. Larry, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Uncle Mike, it is so great to have you back in the family fold. It is so wonderful to hear your voice.
You mean all these years that I was on in Sacramento, you didn't listen to me on the crystal set that you had in your closet?
No kidding. I'll tell you. I'm just so frustrated.
Let me tell you something. Cumulus Media has saved my radio life because I am now on the greatest stations in the country, and they're going to get bigger and better all the time. And all of my old audience here in San Francisco couldn't hear me on the other station are now thrilled to death that they can hear me again, and you're one of them.
Oh, and I'll tell you, I called up all of my friends and probably 15 to 20 people to say, hey, he's back, and they've all, I know they're
so
all
you
were, listening.
So you go back to the 90s when I was on KSFO, right? Dead.
What's that?
You used to listen to me when in the 90s when I was on KSFO?
Yep.
All right, so what's on your mind tonight, Larry? What's the main thing?
Well, you know, here it is again. This president just can't let a tragedy go to waste, Kenny. Here he is talking to these governors. Call me on my direct line if you're not getting the help you need. I'm the hero. How about allowing that Navy SEAL's dad to call you on the direct line and give him an answer? How's that?
That's not bad. To Obama, the Navy SEALs don't exist. They're just useful for his promotional efforts.
It's very, very sad
that we have such a cynical presidency. But, Larry, he wouldn't be the first president to use a tragedy for his political advantage, would he? That's why they're called politicians. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, I'm not justifying what he's doing, but it's nothing unusual in that regard. Is it, Larry?
It isn't. It's just, even when you saw him doing his speech before this tragedy afterwards, I mean,
I don't want to spend any more time on him. He is what he is. If we get him for another 4 years, the country's going to go descend farther and farther into a South American-style nation. Runaway inflation, uncontrollable debt, onerous government, increased red tape, bad climate for foreign investment. It's going to get worse, not better, Larry. That's the bottom line. And people who don't even understand all of this don't like the guy. I don't know if you heard the opening of the show today. I ran into a 30-year-old woman who voted for Obama in 08, and she told me Obama, out of nowhere, she said Obama's going to lose. I was surprised because I know she voted for him. I said, why? She said, well, he's done nothing. She said, all of my friends are liberals, and they're all not going to vote for him, which was very pleasant for me to hear. And I said, well, what else? Why not? Well, he's done nothing, they said, and the economy is still stalled. So basically, it's still bread and butter issues, incidentally. They don't know anything about Benghazi Gate. They know nothing about Libya. They don't care about it. To them, they think Benghazi is a body lotion for aches and pains. So I said to her, what do you think of Romney? She said, well, he's okay, she said, with a pleasantry, a pleasant smile. She said, he's certainly not the old man McCain was in the last election, who I feared might die in office, so I voted for Obama. I heard that today. Then she added the tagline. She said, but I wish Republicans were not so against abortion and gay marriage. You hear this? And that's, again, the sticking point with women. This is something I've heard for well over 20 years. It's a very big issue for Republicans, which are the social issues. Now, as important as they are, you have to understand something. If you're going to tie yourself to such issues, you're going to lose them on every other level. There's no way around it. You're never going to change people's minds. Their minds are made up. It's a whole generation of our bodies ourselves. Women don't want anyone controlling what they want to do with those particular issues. And it's a dead end for Republicans, to be frank with you. As important as it is, you want to go down fighting, you want to go down for your principles, you can do so. But if the longer up Republicans tie themselves to these issues, the less likely they are to ever win an election. I'm telling you the way it is, just the way the electorate is. You can't buck it. Now you're going to say, well, you're a sellout. How come you're not a purist? I've heard it before. I'm willing to live with it. Because if we don't get even some of our positions across, we're finished as a nation. I'm not saying that without a let's say, a principled candidate. See, we want a principled candidate, but they're not going to win. You get a hard-nosed, you get a guy who's as tough as everything on every issue, he's not going to win. Not in this country. It isn't going to happen. Now, if we had a parliamentary system where, let's say, a hardcore conservative could win and capture 8-10% of the electorate, 12% of the electorate, 18%, and take that in a coalition with a moderate, let's say, conservative, then you have a coalition that would work. We don't have that. We are stuck with a very imperfect system. As far as I'm concerned, the system we have is horrible. The parliamentary system is far more democratic because you have a full spectrum of parties. You can have them from the far left, where Obama belongs. You see, Obama represents the far left of the Democrat Party. He is an extremist on the far left. He'd be the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan on the right wing, on the right side. You don't understand this. Policy-wise, Obama is the Ku Klux Klan of the left. That's where he fits politically. He's an extremist of the far left. And he should represent a small splinter group of maybe 3-4% of the electorate. But because he is so clever and he has Obama's brain is much smarter than you give him credit for. The guy from Chicago's name, I always forget his hair. I forget his name. I don't remember his name, but his campaign advisor, Axelrod. Obama's brain has been wise enough to position Obama not as the far-left radical that he is, but as a sort of centrist Democrat, which couldn't be farther from the truth. And we're stuck with a system like this. Now you have Romney, who is a moderate, middle-of-the-road Republican, by no means a conservative, by no means a right-winger, which, of course, the lunatics on the left like to paint anyone who doesn't agree with the communist agenda. They're suddenly right-wing maniacs. So you have a guy who will give us 50, 60 points on the dollar in Romney. You'll get some fiscal relief. You'll get some diminution of red tape. But you're not going to get an awful lot out of him. And if you're expecting it, you're going to be very disappointed. Don't go burning buses down like the Giants fans did the other night after they won. Idiots. Morons, they burnt the $700,000 bus to the ground. What a city. Police stood there ineffectually looking at them. What a city. I don't blame the police. If they did anything, they'd be sued. A pack of lawyers like jackals in San Francisco. The cops can't win no matter what they do. Whatever they do, they're wrong. It's a nightmare. How can anyone have that job? It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back at 855-400-SAVAGE. Be here or be nowhere.
Got to work. Plan goes leave on me. He'll come Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. He'll come Wednesday.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm so glad to be on your station. And the phone over here is 855-400-SAVAGE. You know, I don't want to get into heavily politics right now. I don't think I can take it. I don't know if I can do it anymore. You know, it's enough already. We know what's at stake. We know which side we're on. No one's going to change their mind anymore. The lines are pretty hardly, you know, they're drawn. You know, and let's see what happens Tuesday. I'll be on the air with you. I'll be on the air with you, too. I'm the only one in Major League Talk Radio who's going to be lucky enough to be on the air that night. And I can't wait, finally, to come up with some conclusion already. What in the world, how many years has this election been going on? I feel like it's been going on my entire life. Of all the elections, I feel as this one's been going on for 20, 25 years. Between the campaigning and Newt Gingrich and Calista and the trombones and the guy with the sweater who I've forgotten already, and then the lunatic who was blaming it on the water and fillings in your teeth. Now we're down to the wire with this already. Can it be over? Can we move on? WHAM, Wham. Chris, you're whammy on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Michael, it's so wonderful to hear your voice, sir, and congratulations on your victory. And I also
you know about the 2-year legal battle that almost killed me, and finally I was able to be free and go with a real operator here that I've wanted to be with for a very long time. Anyway, I'm on your station, Wham. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael. I have from two sources. One, internet, which is not too reliable, but I do have an inside source. I'm retired Air Force. General Hamm was recently fired. And General Rodriguez took over. General Hamm was commander of...
Hold on. You mean the Air Force general who was... They fired the admiral who was running the Stennis, which I had been on as a guest. Out of nowhere, they took a naval commander off the Stennis right after the Benghazi gate. What was it, that he wanted to send planes and he was going to blow the whistle on them? What do you think?
This is General Hamm. He was an Army general in charge of U.S. Africa Command, stationed, yes. The headquarters is in Germany. And, right. Of course, he covers resources. He's in charge of resources throughout, I gather, right. Africa and all.
What do you glean from this? Why did they fire him?
Well, the info I have is that, first off, he was advised by getting the same emails that the White House was getting, and he asked the Pentagon if he could commit a force to a rescue mission. And in the interim, he said, Pentagon told him, no, stand down. And the general decided, well, the hell with this. I'm giving the order to send the force. And within 30 seconds to a minute, General Rodriguez took over command. And in other words, relieved him of command.
That's right. So Obama told Panetta to fire the general who was willing to do his job and put a patsy in, a tin soldier.
My impression of this, sir, is that General Rodriguez is probably briefed on this as a contingency, and for a decision like that to happen in less than a minute, one general to another.
But they also fired the commander of the USS Nimitz, which was in the area. The Nimitz, as you know, has 100 airplanes on it, approximately 100. They could have launched fighter jets and saved those people and saved the ambassador. Apparently, the commander of the Nimitz was relieved of duty for the same reason. He was too willing to be an actual commander as opposed to a tin soldier that would report to Obama, the pacifist.
Correct. And it's still...
That's it. In a nutshell, the commander, a lifetime commander who worked his way up from the lowest ranks to be the commander of a battle group. Do you know what that is? Do you know what brains and skill that takes? And he was fired in a short period of time by that thing. I don't have words for what's going on. It's disgraceful, and the average American never heard of Libya. They don't know Benghazi. They know nothing about it. Nothing. Nothing. They don't want to know about it either. And Obama is in some ways the luckiest man on the planet. This was building. The storm hit. It got washed away with the storm. Benghazi gate got washed away with the storm. All you're going to hear about now is the storm, the storm, the storm, the storm, right up to the election. And there's nothing they can do about it. Now, how anyone wearing a uniform could ever vote for this man is beyond me. I don't know how anybody in uniform could ever vote for this man again, ever. I don't know. I don't know how anyone in a uniform, whether it be a policeman or a military person, could ever vote for a Democrat. I haven't any idea how people think. I don't. You know? So let's go to the other callers out there. Let's go to a silly caller, KSFO. JD, you've been holding a long time. What's on your mind, JD?
Hey, Dr. Savage, I've been dying to tell you this meatball story for a long time.
Let's make it quick, though. We're going to go from the firing of a of a naval commander and an admiral to a meatball. But all right, go ahead quickly. What is it?
I'm a carpenter on the Bay Area here, and I'm driving home listening to you, and you're telling your meatball story. Big, giant, juicy.
Well, you're talking about 10 years ago or more, right?
Ages, yes.
Ages ago, my famous meatball story that people have remembered forever. And so tell me how it affected your life.
Driving one of these beautiful fall days we have over here, arm out the window, cruising down the highway, and I'm salivating. I get home. Guess what my wife's cooking? Spaghetti and meatballs.
And that's stuck in your head. That's more important to you than Libya get. That's big. And you stood on the line an hour to tell me that because it's more important to you than Libya.
Yeah, because...
I'm not mocking you because, as I said, Cato the Elder, the Roman historian, wrote that the average Roman didn't care about what the legions were doing in Germania or anywhere else. They cared about issues such as the pebble in their shoe, meaning what was bothering, what affected them on a daily basis. That's all they cared about. And so a meatball is a very important issue, J.D.
Yeah, no, because when I sat down and started eating, they were those little, small, hard rock golf balls.
That joke. When I was saying that I was a kid, the meatballs were large and fluffy and tasted very, very, very tasteful and flavorful. And as America became more and more socialist, the meatballs became small and tasteless because they became like Swedish meatballs. That's the story you're thinking about.
Brutal. And there they were on my plate that
day.
Yeah,
they were. You had small Swedish meatballs, which have no taste whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, you're a good-natured guy. I hope that you continue to listen to the Savage Nation, because beginning after the election, I'm going to start reading about all my family stories that everyone's loved all these years in my new book called Train Tracks. I know you're going to love these stories. Some of them you heard. Most of them you haven't heard. I'm not doing it until Family Stories for the Holidays, Train Tracks. It's the first book of family stories I've ever written like this. And I can't wait to share them with you right after the election so we can go on to something more pleasant. It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be absolutely nowhere. Tender,
adrift in a world of my own.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, my attitude on this is if we find out that there was a big breakdown and somebody didn't do their job, they'll be held accountable. Ultimately, as Commander-in-Chief, I'm responsible, and I don't shy away from that responsibility.
My number one
responsibility is to go after folks who did this, and we're going to make sure that we get them. I've got a pretty good track record of doing that.
Really? You've got a good track record of doing that? Where? You want to go after the folks who did this? Start with Panetta. Or start with Susan Rice. Or start with Hillary Clinton. You don't have to look around. Now look, this is the biggest scandal of our time. Who did Obama appoint to investigate Libyagate? Do you know who he appointed? I have the answer for you on the Savage Nation. I don't think you know this. He appointed a longtime left-wing Arabist, Thomas Pickering, who has been chosen to lead the investigation, and no doubt this leftist will blame somebody else if it ever sees light at all. You don't have any idea what's going on around you, but we have one of the greatest propaganda machines in the history of this country. After all, this is not about abortion. It's not about gay marriage. It's not about contraception pills. That's what liberals want to make the election about. Moreover, liberals keep saying Benghazi should have no bearing on the upcoming election. It's not as important to them, for example, as abortion or gay marriage or government-paid contraception pills. And that's what's important to them. But what's going on is a propaganda campaign that's almost on the level of a military-style attack on the American psyche. It's a cover-up that is unique unto itself. We've never seen anything like this. This is exactly what dictatorships and communist rulers have historically done when they are out to brainwash their own people. And what is that? It isn't what you, the people, see or what the facts are. It's rather what they manufacture them to be. Did you understand that? It is rulership by propaganda. And it's a first in American history. We've never seen anything like this. Don't believe a word of what you know to be true. Don't believe a word of the hero, ex-SEAL, who died to save some of the people there. Don't believe a word that his father says. Instead, believe the man in the White House. Instead, believe Panetta, who said that it was Monday morning quarterbacking. Instead, believe the other people in the chain of command who failed us and let the people die. You see, it appears right now that Obama will not save Americans, even while he's watching them die in real time on a television feed. They were watching in real time as the killing was going on. They were watching in real time as our military was begging to do the right thing. But higher-ups in the Obama machine prevented them from doing so. And as a result, people died. The embassy was burnt to the ground. It is the single biggest issue of the campaign. But because, and I'll keep repeating it till it goes into your head, because the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column, most Americans know nothing about it. All they know is abortion, gay marriage, medical marijuana, and global warming. That's all they know. That's all they care about. And then the illegal immigrants are here. I told you I had a run-in last week with one who said, I should be arrested, the military should arrest men like me, because if Romney wins, her Social Security and welfare would be cut off. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. So that's the problem we're facing in the country today. I've given you a very keen insight into this. Now, I don't know who's going to win, nor am I going to prognosticate till it actually, either the election. Who can make these polls? This, that, who knows what the polls, they're all rigged. So if you see leftist polls like NPR now saying 8-point swing puts Romney in front, there's only one reason NPR would do that. And that is to make sure the liberal base comes out and that the conservative voter becomes, he's going to win, I don't have to vote. It's all a game to them. There's not 1 ounce of truth coming out of NPR, not an ounce of truth coming out of the fifth column called the network news. Not an ounce. Thank God we still have an election in the country. I'm shocked that they let us vote. What we have here is we have an intermittent democracy. Every few years they let us say something about those who are robbing us blind and corralling us. But other than that, it's basically a mild dictatorship in the country, becoming increasingly more onerous by the day, with the drones flying overhead, with the laws, everyone in the country is a potential criminal. It gets worse by the day. And the only hope we have, frankly, is to get rid of this fetid leftist dictatorship in the making here in this country and put in the putative Republican. He is a Republican, okay. I should say the putative conservative. Because he's our only chance. Why do I say that Romney is our only chance? Because we have a chance with Romney to influence him. We have no chance whatsoever to influence the Axelrod machine. None whatsoever. That axle is rolling to the left. That's where it's going. There's no way to change the direction that that machine is going in. They've been on that road ever since they came out of the womb. It's the Savage Nation. Visit me online at michaelsavage.com where you can see the stories I didn't get to today. Every night on the station you're listening to right now, the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE, or online at michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back. Oh, could you turn that off? That's horrible. I don't feel like listening to Pantera. Welcome to the Savage Nation. God, that was horrendous. Why am I asking for heavy metal music? I am absolutely brain dead from this presidential race. I'm brain dead because I see a communist in the White House getting away with virtual murder on a daily basis. He's killing people with drones, but because the drones have a D on them, it's not murder. He's destroying the economy, the American way. And because of the viruses in the media, he gets away with it. Not saying a word that we really need to hear about the fundamental attack upon our core principles and values. So I'm asleep. I'm going to sleep. Today in the mail, for example, listen to the Savage Nation. Listening to the Savage Nation is what you are doing. Every day I get proposals for people to come on the show, books, and, you know, I normally ignore them. Sometimes I get angry and send back a reply like this. I said, I don't publicize the views of communists. It came to me from some unknown publisher, and it said, Dear Michael, many say that this presidential election is a battle for the soul of America. Or more precisely, it's a fight to define the true American national identity. For decades, the American right wing has mostly controlled this conversation on national identity, known more popularly as American values. This is changing. This is from a publisher now. The election of Obama started it, and his re-election will cement it. That the left, led by Barack Obama, defines America's true national identity. So says Dr. Ian Shmekovitz, the author of a new book. I won't read the book. That's not his real name. It's not Dr. Ian Shmekovitz. But it's one of the New York commies that run around the universities there. So the guy goes on, I'd like to pitch Dr. Shmekovitz for a segment on the Michael Savage Show. See three-point debate the below. I think this would make a hard-hitting discussion debate, because while so many on the right loudly stake ownership of the American values issue by attacking Obama, painting him as the other or unpatriotic or elitist, even foreign-born, Dr. Shmekovitz says that Barack Obama's presidency and Barack Obama himself embodies America's true values. I'm not making it up one word. Let me read it on. This is a debate that goes deeper than displaying a flag pin or singing loudly during the national anthem. It's about what it truly means to live up to the American ideal. Then they go on telling me why we should have Dr. Ian Shmekovitz on and whether I want to receive his book. Then the press releases on it for immediate release. Who really represents American values? Controversial study claims Obama embodies true national identity. I'm not making up a word. The 2012 presidential election has been described by thinkers on both sides of the aisle as a battle for the soul of America. Nowhere in this, is this battle more evident than in the constant salvos fired from both camps attempting to define what true American values are. Is Obama the contrast to or the best example of American values? Dr. Shmekovitz, author of the book, says that Obama embodies true American values, and his presidency and re-election is the sign that America is actually waking up to that fact. In an interview, Dr. Shmekovitz debates three important markers that show that this is true. One, is the American identity defined by involuntary ethnic racial terms or by voluntary civic terms? I have no idea what that means, incidentally. So I can't even Oh, here it is. It's bashing whites. Historically, the powers that controlled America defined a national identity that is too heavily focused on a white male elite culture. Even today, this is conventional wisdom. Obama's election and presidency mark a better American ideal that we should aspire to. Well, you also want to add that the white male elite culture is the culture that defeated Hitler. And without them, what would you be? You'd have a ring in your nose. And what would you be doing, idiot? Then it goes on. Obama is the correct president for the future because Obama embodies fairness and a government built to help the weakest in society. Wow. The weakest in society, you mean like Corzine? You mean like, let's see, the other weak ones, those who are friends of Pelosi or the friends of Reid? Are those the weakest in our society? Those with the fake solar companies, those the weakest in society? Is the American identity based on narrow cultural assimilation or multiculturalism? Now, here, this, you're not going to believe this, but I swear this idiot wrote this. The right wing continues to define America by goading its immigrant population into assimilating, which is really forcing it into a culture that is white, male, and elite, while Obama embodies multiculturalism, where diversity in gender and ethnicity is empowered. Wow. So in other words, the days of assimilation are over. Now people who run from the third world, the garbage countries that they run away from because the life is impossible for them there, are telling us we should now adopt the mores of the countries they ran away from? Yes, according to Dr. Ian Shmekovitz, that is true. Dr. Ian Shmekovitz is a professor of history, and I won't read the country, but it belongs to the State University of New York. That, of course, is where Governor Cuomo reigns supreme. So they conclude by saying, is Obama's America the true America? What are true American values? And then they have, you know, a question of whether I want to book them on the show. And I answer them simply, I don't publicize the views of communists. There's nothing here for you to call me about, nothing whatsoever. I just tell you, I cannot believe the overt communism that I'm seeing coming into my office. I just cannot believe this. It's astounding. I think that the Twitter generation is so stupid that they don't even understand that their very freedoms are at stake and that we have the first communist president in American history. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not practicing overt, full-blown Soviet-era communism. No, sir. He's practicing the type of progressive socialism that I described in my best-selling books, Trickle Up Poverty and Trickle Down Tyranny. But you can also bank the following, that if this shyster is reelected with his gang, we will have full-blown Marxism in this nation within the first 3 years. And that leads us to the callers. Because you can tell a candidate or a president by who he surrounds himself with. So I'd like to take some callers on those of you who know who Axelrod is. Axelrod is Obama's brain. Does anyone out there know who Axelrod actually is and why he gets away with it? Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou waste not that wast not spoiled. And woe to you that dealest treacherously, and thou dealt not treacherously with thee. What does that mean? I can't even read the Bible today. I think I'm getting dyslexic from it all. As locusts leap, do they leap upon it? I don't even want to read the Bible today. You ever reach that point where nothing makes sense to you? And Moses went and spoke the... Nothing works for me anymore. Nothing. The Bible, I can't read it. A drink doesn't do me any good. I'm overeating. It doesn't even taste any good. I ate two lunches today. I feel sick from them. Two Chinese lunches. I didn't want either of them. Would you believe this? Why would I eat two lunches today? It's from looking at this garbage day in and day out. I feel like the servant of the fool. I can't believe it. I look at articles. Did you see the article that Eric Holder is hiring schizophrenics and intellectually disabled people? He's putting them at the top of the list at the Justice Department. That was the last straw for me. Let's see. I have to find this one here. Department of Justice under the superb Eric Holder is recruiting schizophrenics and intellectually disabled. And if you think I'm making this up, we found PJ Tatler, PJ Media, has actually obtained documents from the so-called Justice Department detailing their efforts to recruit attorneys and staff who are dwarfs or who have psychiatric disabilities or severe intellectual disabilities. Lawyers with psychiatric disabilities and severe intellectual abilities, wouldn't that define everyone at this Department of Justice? I can't believe this. Why in the world would you not be excited about this? How could you not understand that we're living in a post-communist revolution where we have the most incompetent, corrupt, I have to use the word in a proper way, deviant, and I don't mean that in a sense of sexual deviancy. They are psychiatrically deviant. We have a psychiatrically deviant administration. So Eric Holder's Justice Department is recruiting dwarfs, schizophrenics, and the intellectually disabled. We're not making this up. We found the hiring form. And these people with such targeted disabilities may be hired through a non-competitive appointment. In other words, they're disabled, right? Now, why would this creep in the Civil Rights Division be doing this? Do you think he's stupid? Now, Attorney General Tom Perez is one of the most fanatic leftists in the United States of America today. So why would he affirmatively be recruiting so-called intellectual dwarfs and schizophrenics into the Justice Department without any competition? You think he's stupid? No, he's far more dangerous than you may understand. Why are they recruiting lawyers in that department? Because they're afraid that the Republicans are going to win. And if the Republicans win, you will not be able to fire these lawyers. Once a person is hired under the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act, which is one of the most horrendous acts ever passed, it is so rife with fraud that it's almost impossible to describe, you'll never fire any one of these hires. Since they are going to be hired as disabled, they're entitled to all of the robust protections of this law, the so-called Americans with Disabilities Act. Ask anyone who owns a business what this has done to them. So that means the employer has to be reasonably accommodating, whatever the employee wants. And if you should even dismiss one or discipline one, you'll be taken to court in a moment for discriminating against them because they're a disabled person. So you see, if the Republicans should win and they try to get rid of these far-left fanatics, they will not be able to get rid of them. And that's why this character, who I just mentioned, who you never heard of, who was put there by Obama, another one of his left-wing fanatics, Assistant Attorney General Tom Perez, is hiring those with psychiatric disabilities. He's trying to plant fanatic left...
Savage. Where are the most energy resources in the world? America has the richest oil and natural gas resources in the world. But President Obama restricts development. As gas prices rose, he blocked the Keystone Pipeline and cut leases on federal lands. We lost millions of jobs. Energy prices soared. We need pro-energy leaders. Energy is the opportunity. America must be number one in energy. Now is the time. Say it with us at energyisopportunity.com.
Paid for by New American Energy Opportunity Foundation.
Mental disorders linked to older fathers. I that caught my eye because there's a myth that it's older women. In other words, if you're born of an older mother, that would increase your chance of inheriting certain disorders such as schizophrenia or autism. Well, it turns out that a new study from Iceland, I believe, shows that disorders such as autism and schizophrenia are higher in families with fathers who become fathers later in life. They pass on more genetic mutations, contributing to such disorders. According to this study that just came out of older fathers pass on more new genetic mutations to offspring. It's fascinating in a journal, Nature. Shows that rates of autism and some other disorders are more prevalent in children born of older fathers, sometimes by a factor of two or more. They say, though this has been observed for years from population studies, scientists had not known what lay behind it. Although older mothers are at higher risk for complications such as diabetes during pregnancy and are more likely to have children with chromosomal disorders such as Down syndrome, the study found that practically all of the new mutations detected in children come from the father. And this new research has been made possible by recent advances in DNA sequencing technology. This will also help correct an overemphasis on the riskiness of women giving birth at older ages, some researchers said. Forget example. A man at age 30, roughly, at the time he fathered a child, contributed 63 new mutations on average to his offspring. And a man aged 46 contributed 126 mutations, a doubling, the authors calculated. Now, many of the mutations would confer no effect either for good or for ill on the children, scientists noted. Right? But the number of genetic alterations is something that is worth looking at. And it's, I'm not going to read you the rest of the study, but it's a fascinating study, and it leads to the question, are you the child of an older father? Are you the child of an older mother? And how did it affect you? So the question is, do old parents run the risk of creating children who have problems at a greater rate than the younger parents? You know? I mean, you can make funny jokes about this, but it's not a funny thing if you're born with a disability as a result of a genetic inheritance. And maybe people ought to stop and think twice before the 50 or 60-year-old marries a 20-year-old, you know, wants to have a child, which he should have had at 25 or 30. I mean, the normal way, it, biologically, is for people to have babies very young. That is the norm in the world of zoology. The young produce the most viable offspring. It's true whether it's in humans or in animals. The younger you are, the more viable the offspring. The older you are, the less viable the offspring. It's just actually a product of reality, and everybody has sort of known that from the beginning of time. And I think many of us have lost our common sense about these things. This doesn't mean that an older man shouldn't get married and have children, but you are increasing the risk of passing on more new genetic mutations to your offspring if you're an older guy, especially if you're with an older woman. And this whole idea of women having babies at 65 is ludicrous. Men having babies when they're 70, 75, everyone brings up, oh, Picasso had a baby when he was 80. Well, how did that work out? What has Picasso's son done lately? I mean, I know that's not the answer, but, you know, why is that held up as the model for the older man? Oh, Picasso had a young model as his wife, and he had a baby at 80. And what? Where's the son today? Unless he's working for Eric Holder in the Department of Justice, I haven't heard about him. I don't know what he's doing, frankly. All right, so let's move on. Another dud. No one cares. Older fathers pass. It interested me. I thought it would interest you. I boat on weekends. My thing on boating is I go out for a couple hours on the weekend, and I enjoy it enormously. Why? Because, A, I know I'm going to get off the boat in 3 hours, and B, and be in my own bed that afternoon. I mean, one of my greatest pleasures in life if I must tell you, is going out on my boat on a Sunday. I'm a Sunday boater. It's a big boat, but I mean, you could go up the coast to Alaska, my boat. It's got three cabins, three heads, a washer and dryer from Sweden, an ice box, a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, two generators. I never use them. I use one refrigerator for beer and water. I never washed a pair of socks in the dishwasher, in the washer dryer. I never washed a dish in the dishwasher. See, whoever buys my used cars or boats gets something like better than new. Always been true. Only one bathroom has ever been used. I'm not trying to sell you anything. But one of my greatest pleasures is getting on the boat, getting underway. It's always a challenge, taking her out, turning to starboard and heading over the, you know, wherever. I went to Jack London Square. We docked. That's always fun. You get off. You see the farmer's market. You see the people milling about in Jack London Square. I mean, nothing really to see. And you look for a hamburger. You can't find one. Of going for hamburger, I look for a Burger King. I wanted a couple of chicken burgers and French fries for me and the dog. And they said, no, there's no Burger King here. It's typical Bay Area. Oh, no, we don't have any of those corporate stores. We have a wonderful local hamburger place. It's right down there up that street. Okay, fine. But the part I was getting to is that the best part of that boat trip is coming home. Because I know I go home, dock the boat, wash the boat, get in the car, drive to my house, and then what do? 4 or 5 o'clock, Teddy and I lay in bed. I go to sleep for an hour. Maybe one of the greatest feelings on earth, because I don't know what it is. You're floating from the boat. You're back on the... He likes to be home. He lays on his back, and he just starts to snore. He knows he's back home in his bed. And, you know, you look through your door, but I've reached that point in life. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to be here over the weekend. Then I got to put a barbecue on, or there's going to be no barbecue. Boring, with a capital G. Little B, big G. I make so many mistakes with parties. I'm one of these guys, it's like I do them, and then I'm sorry I did it the minute that I plan them for 10 days. Everything's perfect. And the day of the party, I wish I didn't. I want to leave the minute it starts. Are you like that? Say, everything's there. The burgers are sizzling, the beer, and then I don't want to be there. The only like barbecues I really want to be at are in the movies. Usually cop barbecues in the. You ever see those cop barbecues? Don't they look great? Or the mafia barbecues in the backyards of like New Jersey? They're always like, oh, wow, I wish I could be there. You know, eat that long sausage and the whatever, and the kids are running around, and there's the guy sitting in the beach chair. They don't happen. It's all fantasy. It's all created by Red Diaper Dopa babies from Brooklyn who are living in Los Angeles and giving us Obama. Nobody does that. They create that for you, so you think you're not at the barbecue. No one does that. There are no such things. See, so nothing's working for me right now, which is, in a way, it's okay. I feel good that nothing's working because it confirms what I know about life already, which is that nothing works. So, but it's like one man's opinion. I don't know, man. I'm the only one who thinks this. John, you're calling. I claim that there are no real cop barbecues or mafia barbecues. They're only created. You actually say there are such things.
Oh, there are such things, Michael. And I attended one last year. I live in San Leandro. I had cooked spaghetti sauce for a friend of mine that owns a restaurant. This guy came from the East Coast, and it tastes just like his grandmother. Who's the cook? He wanted to introduce himself to me. It's just like something out of The Sopranos.
What do you serve at such a barbecue? What do you serve? I'm not going to ask any more than that. What kind of food is served at such a gathering?
He said, if you're ever back here, call me. I called him. I go to Mahwah, New Jersey. He's having a barbecue. He says, come over, cook some. They call it gravy.
Yeah. Italians they call sauce gravy. Why do the old-time Italians call sauce gravy? I never understand that.
I have no idea. We call it sauce. They call it gravy. And he wanted me to make his grandmother's sauce. I did the onions, the sausage. I did the whole thing. But they do have pasta. They do have raviolis. He had my sauce, which he loved. And they do sit around in their little groups with their pinky rings on and their necklaces. And they have a lot of sausages, which half of them make them the plate, half of them come over and grab one. They have pasta. They have French bread. They have wine.
Wait, John, hold on. You're making my mouth water. That sounds like real food. You're a restaurant owner?
No. I used to cook. And my friends went on to, I went into another thing in the grocery business, but my friends went on to be cooks and chefs.
Wait, you said they went on to be cooks and crooks, right?
Restaurants. What's that?
You lost me. You started by saying this is a barbecue where gangsters go. So you would say that your friends became cooks and crooks?
They were having the barbecue, and he wanted me to cook my sauce that he really liked. It reminded him of his grandma.
Wait a minute. Now you're pulling my leg. Hold on. Why would you be there if you're not in the same business?
I was a friend. He's with me. So I went in there.
Are they allowed to bring civilians along?
Of course. Yeah. There were other people there. They're not all... they say he's a friend of mine. If you're with them, he says I'm a friend of ours. It's just like the movie. I'm a friend of his. So they knew I wasn't one of them, and they knew who he was. He said, he's with me. He's here to cook my grandma's gravy. I cooked her
so
gravy.
So you didn't get called into the inner circle for the business talk. You were there to just be a friend of a friend. That's all.
I was a friend of a friend, and he took care of me, shoved a couple hundreds in my pocket, and I'll never forget it. It was a crack-up, and it's just like...
Must have been a lot of fun, but, I mean, what kind of sausages do they eat?
They like Italian sausage. I did the New York style hot, and I did the New York style Italian sausage.
But I mean, what, you buy over the counter, or you made them?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, back there, Michael, they have, you know, you and I go to the store, and we buy New York style deli. Back there, you go to the deli. He says, what do you need? And I gave him a list of what I needed. I told him mushrooms, Italian sausage, hot Italian. I seared them up, put them in the sauce.
There's no comparison between the sausage in New York City and anywhere else. Never. I'm talking about if you want Italian sausage, you can't find it in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It's just not here. People eat like tofu sausage here or chicken apple sausage. It's not the same thing.
They have good sausage back here, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, they have high incidence of colorectal cancer as well and diabetes. I mean, the guys are not that healthy from eating it, but if you really love food, there's nothing tastier than bad food.
They're not that healthy.
I don't know how to put it. There is nothing tastier than bad food. That's about the closest thing I can come to truth today about food. The worse it is for you, the better it tastes. I mean, I myself eat chicken apple sausage. I eat like, you know, I'm a health food eater type. I have been for 50 years, which is why I'm still kicking. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin C since I'm 28 years old. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin E, according to the Shute brothers, for 35 years. I've been taking massive doses of B vitamins, and I eat... If I go to my favorite Italian restaurant... Or my favorite Basque restaurant. You know what they put on the table for me without my asking? They put minced garlic, chopped garlic in oil, and minced onions before I even start the meal. And so when I get the soup, I put the onions in the soup and I make a gazpacho out of it. Now, I got to tell you, you know and I both know that massive amounts of garlic and onions are phenomenally good for your body. But most people can't tolerate it. And they don't eat it. It tastes like you're burning yourself. It's sort of like a Roto-Rooter for toxins in your body. You take a spoonful of minced garlic in oil, okay, and put it on a nice piece of Italian bread before a meal. I know it sounds crazy, right? And you eat that with a little bit of wine before you start eating. You know what you're doing? It's like spraying Raid inside your guts for every microorganism that doesn't belong there. I think that's what's wrong with me today, is I feel too good. I actually have so cured myself with vitamins and high doses of garlic and onions, then nothing bothers me, so I can't do a good show. There's nothing agitating me. I feel too calm. I'm starting to realize I may be coming normal again from detoxing to such an extent that there's nothing agitating me. Isn't that something? That's a weird feeling. It's like the Buddy Hackett joke. You know that great joke from the 50s, which I've told too many times. I'll tell it again in case you haven't heard it. The guy goes in the army, they take him to Fort Dix, they put him on the military food. After a week, he says, he went into the infirmary. The doctor said, what's wrong? He said, I must be sick. He said, why? He said, every time I eat the food, he said, I don't have indigestion. There must be something wrong with me. In other words, it was the first time in his life, that he didn't have indigestion, so he thought something was wrong with him. He thought it was the norm to eat his mother's food and then start belching and gagging, feeling bloated, opening his pants, sitting on the couch, gagging. He thought that was the normal response to a meal. So a guy goes in the army, they give him a lean, you know, American meal, and the guy doesn't have any such indigestions. He thinks there's something wrong with him. It's very funny, but you have to be, you know, from a certain milieu to think that's clever and fun. To me, it's funny, to this day. That's all. Let's move on. Next case. You think I'm going to get worked up now over who wins? Oh, God. How many books and stories and shows do I have to do here till you finally get it? Hey, I don't care if you're a lifetime Democrat. I really don't care, but you got to understand Obama's not a Democrat. He is bad for you as a Democrat. The man is a naked communist. You're not going to do well. I don't care what angle you're in. This guy is a disaster for you. And anybody in business should know that. I don't care if your business is legitimate or illegitimate. This guy is anti-business. And so that's my opinion. And I don't understand how America hasn't awakened to this. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What do you want to talk about? Gravy? Wavy gravy? Older fathers? Romney, Homney, Mumney, Bumney, all aboard? Romney, Homney, Bumney? I allege that that the barbecues you see in movies, cop barbecues and mafia barbecues, don't exist. The guy called and said he was at a mafia barbecue. So I said, okay, then they do exist. And he described the food. But I was alleging that most of these barbecues are fake. But in his case, they were real. But you know what caught my attention was not only the gravy thing and the sauce. I noticed the East Coast Italians call it gravy, which is kind of quaint. It's sort of like the cable car of language. Why would you refer to sauce as gravy? I'll never understand. I do understand it. Now I get it. If you call gravy sauce, what you're doing is you're trying to act uppity. You're trying to act like you're French almost. So if you're an old world Italian guy and you want to show you from the old world with basic old world, down to earth, real values, you call it gravy. If you're trying to be from San Francisco, you know what I'm saying, where you wear your pinky ring on the other pinky, you call it gravy. That's all. That's how it works. It's as simple as that. It's a matter of choice in language. It's not you. I mean, you call it sauce. Pardon me. Gravy sauce, sauce gravy. Some call it gravy. Some call it sauce. You ever get those feelings where everything becomes like a different? I can feel it in my head. Like I have a very psychic, my mind is quite psychic. It's always been able to feel things, see things ahead of. That's why I'm successful. You got to understand it wasn't by accident. A man doesn't achieve what I've achieved by accident. Yes, it's hard work. But my ability to see down the road and be right is why people keep listening to me. Yeah, I mean, I have a good voice and I'm entertaining and I can, you know, come out of nowhere. You know, I can hit from outfield to infield, infield to outfield. I can catch, I can pitch, I can, you know what I'm saying? I can do shortstop, second base, third base, first base, and the outfield, and can be a fan all at the same time, which is interesting. I'm a versatile performer on the radio. Okay? But there's an element in my head that is none of those things. It's sort of a psychic ability, which many people have, incidentally. Most of you have psychic abilities, but you're afraid of them. Let's make it very basic. You get a feeling about something and you don't do something you were going to do, and then you find out, had you done what you were originally going to do, something bad would have happened to you. That's what I mean, right? That's what keeps you alive. You ever watch animals? I'm a big watcher of animals. I like to watch birds of prey hunt. I know, what? Where'd he come up with that one? I love watching beautiful, long-legged marsh birds as they slowly walk through the marsh looking for like a mussel, a clam, a snail, whatever. You ever watch how cautiously they lift their feet? You know, the martial artists, the original martial artists who developed various styles of martial arts, had a method, many different methods. One was called the white crane method. Now, what is the white crane method? How did the ancient Chinese develop the white crane method? Because there were men like me who were observers of nature who would watch animals for their inspiration and for their knowledge of fighting. Because if you ever watch cranes fight, it's something to behold. It's a horrible thing to behold because there are no rules. You know what I'm saying? There's no gloves and there's no tapping out. It's called like rip the other guy's liver out in the white crane method of white cranes fighting white cranes. But what I'm getting at is if you watch the white crane's legs move, notice how cautiously the crane moves in the muck. He doesn't just pop along like, you know, Mickey Mouse running through a hole in the wall in a cartoon. It's like, hey, not a happy little animal there. This guy knows that every step, this bird knows that each step it takes has to be so deliberate and so well placed that one, it advances his position with regard to seeking the food he is after, and B, doesn't scare off the prey. Okay, so that's pretty. But we all have that in us. Isn't that true? Don't we all have that in us in order to get through a day? How do you drive on a highway? You're using some methodology, which is why you got to be an idiot to talk on a cell phone while you're driving on a highway. You have any idea what you're doing? You're going 65, 70 miles an hour in a 2,000, 3,000-pound vehicle loaded with gasoline and other fluids that are inflammable, and you're distracted. I don't know how there aren't more accidents, to be honest with you. You're using some kind of psychic ability when you're driving to prevent from hitting the other car. You may think it's simple, but it isn't. It's very complicated. Driving is very complicated, which is why we should take our hats off to